And that guidance, did that come from people that you had known most of your life? Was it a new community that you had?
Aha! So the guidance for me, because outside of society and everyday life, I am into the ballroom scene. The ballroom scene is alternative lifestyle transitioning when it comes to the aspect of arts and theaters. So ballroom scene, it inquires, it's about Vogue and modeling and best dress and sex siren and the aspect of realness, which is the new thing that's just, everyone's just so focused on. So realness is the understanding into which, how far along you've come in your transition to see if you and or whoever your component, your opponent is you know, clockable, so to speak. And that's an aspect, if you look like a man or if you, you know, your process is working for you. So I had like friends in the ballroom scene who I grew close to over time. And then while I was in high school, so once I actually did graduate and I actually did make that decision, those were the ones who were in my inner circle, who we communicated with. And on that level, that was the time where I say, oh, it still is a nightmare sometimes, because it's certain vast situations, certain situations in general in life where you just don't fit in with your immediate family or biological family. Then that's when you create a family of your own, or you become a part of an outside family. So that's what the ballroom scene kind of was too. So when it came to those support systems, it was close friends who I stayed in touch with, who stayed in touch with me, who were willing to see me through it. Extended family, so to speak.
And is that your family now?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yes. Yes, it is. And we communicate, you know, we do the things that matter, as well as we continue to try to stay focused in real life. The only thing I will say with the ballroom scene, even though that was the support system, sometimes people can't distinguish the difference between fairy tale and reality. So, but for me, I'm able to not teeter-totter on that line and get sucked in. I still continue to stay focused.
And then what do you mean by the fantasy and reality in terms of...
The ballroom scene is just all fun and games. It's more, for me, it's always been the aspect to dress up and, you know, kind of like let off some steam via voguing or being just being around a whole bunch of high energy or, you know, nice costumes and stuff like that. Whereas after it's all said and done, because you only run a space, that's just like when you do a symposium. You have that space for X amount of time. So you got to make it happen within that time, have your fun, mix and mingle, and then you got to get right back to the drum board for the next event or for the next day-to-day, you know, so forth and so on. So from if when I say the term fantasy and reality, is like, okay, that's only temporarily, and it's only about the fun, the games. That you can't say, hey, I walk this ball and I want that ball, and that speaks volumes over having a high school diploma and or ETC. That's crazy.
Right.
And how to enjoy things. But getting back to the gay part, there was three of us in my neighborhood that lived there. There was Tweety, Niecy, and myself. And we never had no problem with the people in the neighborhood, because they knew us from being young. Mm-hmm. And then like with Tweety, and was older, she used to give us tips on how to get hormones and where to go buy them at and stuff like that. And we started taking hormones back when I was about 18. Mm-hmm. And I think Niecy started, she was about 15. And we started growing boobs back then. And we used to hang out at night. That's when we started hanging out late at night, walking up and down the street and negligees and stuff, acting like we were pretty. Mm-hmm. Because that's what we did back then. Then we started going to balls about a year later. I think the first ball I went to was in New York. I think it was up in Harlem. It was wasn't the Crystal Ballroom, it was something else. But I know it had big pedestals in the middle of the floor.
The big columns.
Big columns, yeah. It was nice back then. Then it was just mainly femme queens. Mm. They had a couple of butch queen categories.
Not many.
I think it was only about maybe four. I think it was Conti Butch Queen and or the Mod Boy and Face and the Executive Look and probably something else.
Schoolboy or something like that.
Yeah. Then Must Have Things was Femme Queen, and then the Grand Prize was Femme Queen. That's when Grand Prize started, like, I think it was $300, then it went to $500. Then they started doing this $1,000 Grand Prize. The first $1,000 grand prize was held in Irvington Manor. Mm-hmm. I remember that because I sold tickets for that for the girl that was doing it.
Nightclub. Started off doing janitorial work. And it was a gay club. It was called the Dollhouse, which was owned by Bobby White.
Was that here in Newark?
Yeah. It was at the other end of Halsey Street, at William Street. And at the Dollhouse, I started doing janitorial work. Then they had Amateur Night in the beginning for people to lip sing or whatever, and I got into doing shows. And I was very good at lip singing. Then Bobby hired me to wait on tables because I had just started transitioning. So I did shows, I waited on tables, and I did a small tour with Bobby White. He inducted me into the Bobby White Review, which was like a show review for transgender people, or shall I say LGBT people, because we had guys that worked with us also. And at 21, it was retirement time. Yeah, I worked at the club from 16 to 21.
Oh, wow, that's a long time.
Yeah, it was retirement time because I found my niche in the entertainment of lip singing, which was Grace Jones at the time. Mm. And, you know, to stay in character, I cut my hair, I did the makeup, the clothes, the heels, and everything. Being like that in the daytime was not nice. You know, because you get mobbed by people, and that scared me, so it was time to retire.